Together, they're the two units. Footy and the Sultan join RSN Central.
The two units, part of the RSN Central family, the greatest umpire of all time, the most popular umpire of all time. Forget about Razor, we've got Nick Foote and the man that calls himself the Sultan, Dave Strelaw. Hello to you, Nicholas.
Hello, Gareth. That's an oxymoron, I believe.
Yes.
The most popular umpire.
Can you please use words that we understand here on RSN Central?
I'm out. That's my vocab for the morning.
Oxymoron. Stop trying to sound smart.
Well, I looked it up in the dictionary this morning.
The Sultan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gareth. Good to be here, mate.
And it's great to have our mate. You know when you've got mates playing football at the highest level and you're looking forward to watching them play and you cheer them on? I'll be watching Nick back at the VFL or AFL this week.
VFL this week, yep. Yes.
You're back from a calf?
I am.
Hopefully it's the Channel 7 game.
It's at the G, actually. It's the curtain raiser to the Dreamtime game.
I think it is the Channel 7 game, Essendon and Richmond.
There we go.
Yep. Even Nathan Buckley came back through the VFL once. So
he did, didn't
knock.
He? Yeah. I reckon Nat Fife might come back through the Waffle.
Yeah, then, maybe. Yeah.
Are you bouncing the ball?
I will be bouncing the ball, definitely. It's a good launch pad there at the G.
Do you get more nervous bouncing the ball at the MCG or having a bet for your millions of followers?
So you want to keep the millions of followers happy. But,
yes. What's more? What has the most pressure involved?
I think having a bet, the bounce is in my control, Gareth, you see. So you like to be in control. So definitely watching a race.
You like to be in control. I don't mind that. Nice one, mate. Bit of an insight to your soul.
Who's the chairman of the two units? The president. Nick Foote.
I go, we're 50-50. He starts pointing to himself. Yep. All right. I'll see how it is.
So you're the...
Zolt says he's the talent.
He's the Barnaby. He's the Barnaby and you're Scott Morrison. You're the deputy leader and he's the leader.
Nah, I'm Vince from Entourage and he's the manager. So he's E.
We all like to have a punt, don't we? I've been enjoying watching the fluctuations. I know this is off the rundown, but the fluctuations regarding the election. And I'm blown away. I was talking to some traders at the tab. How many people like to punt on the election? And they were talking about the American election when Trump was up against, the election when he won.
Hilldog.
Yeah, Hilldog, was it?
Hilldog, yeah.
I don't know.
Hillary.
Hillary, yes, that's it.
Yep.
And the amount of money and the fluctuations, especially when they said he couldn't win and then he, from nowhere, he flashed down the outside like Chautauqua. But the turnover's remarkable.
Well, there's currently $7 million held for the Australian election. And,
On Betfair.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Anyway, we'll move on, because there's plenty of racing to have a chat about. I want to play you a grab from our great mate, Mitchell Beer. He's a little bit jealous that he hasn't made this segment. But this is what he said on his own segment, Beer and Skittles, on Tuesday. What's the best one?
The best one, Swan Hill.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Swan Hill.
Most underrated country carnival in Australia.
There you go. Most underrated carnival in Australia. Now, you're the people's tipsters. You get a younger generation involved in the game. Surely you're heading to Swan Hill for the Cup Carnival. If Mitchell's going to be there, we'll be there.
Well, you've said that you've extended the invite, haven't you?
100%.
We're part of the show. It's on a Friday, isn't it?
Correct. So we'll head up there Thursday night.
We're good country boys. I'm from West Gippsland and footy's from Tasmania.
I'm just worried about, Nick, about your availability with your commitments in the AFL.
It's a tentative yes.
Yep.
Who
I don't know if we can fly you from... Yeah, I think you're highly unlikely. I don't know.
Vince will be there, mate.
Yeah, that's all we need. The assistant to run amok. So, favourite, I was thinking about the carnivals or the racetracks that you watch and you bet in most states of this country. You do not discriminate. So, is there one track that you'd look at and think, well, geez, I'd love to get there one day when you're watching Sky Racing 1?
Yeah, off the cuff, I think Dunkeld is the one that I'd love to get to, just from a scenery point of view. Mm-hmm. It certainly looks like a great day down there, just looking at some of those images. But I think I've ticked off most of the ones, most of the bigger ones that I wanted to get to.
Salton?
Yeah, somewhere in the country Victoria.
Yep.
That is a very, very beautiful track.
Yep.
Maybe
even one of the picnic meetings.
Hall's Gap.
Hall's Gap,
Australian. Yeah,
oh, that's
cool.
Hanging Rock.
Hanging Rock, sorry, yeah.
Done that. We've done Woolamore a couple of times, haven't we?
Yeah, that's a beautiful track, yeah.
What about your favourite track to punt on?
Oh, HQ.
Flemington.
Yeah, Flemington.
100%.
Yeah.
It's so easy when you're doing the form there. You don't really have to worry about how you think the track will play.
Yeah, not
you
so
You just have to worry about so if you much, can work out the tempo. Yep. Yeah.
Sometimes the wind can play a bit of a factor, but it's just a great, spacious track and I love the straight racing as well. Some people knock that, but I love the straight racing. Yeah. And yeah, you can really pick a horse that's going to settle up on speed and kick there too.
Were you watching Pakenham last night?
Oh, was I ever?
Did you catch the celebrations after the last? Yes. After Meltdown won at Pakenham?
Just explain that to our audience.
So Meltdown won the last at Pakenham. It was backed from $7 into $3 or something, wasn't it, Salts?
Yeah, $7.35 we were on, mate.
Yeah, we were on it. The units were on at $7.35. There you go. And there was just absolute scenes from about six or seven blokes in Canberra Raiders tops. And I don't think they'll be getting home till at least Sunday.
So followers of the two units team and... You were tipping that horse there last night.
Yeah.
There's no better feeling. Sevens in the end of threes and you get the job done.
It's really good for your sleep as well when you have a winner in the last at Pakenham on a Thursday night.
Either way, I always manage to have a bet in the last at Pakenham and either way, you either win and you got too much dopamine and you can't get to sleep, or you either lose and you're absolutely furious and you need to watch a rom-com to try and calm down.
Have you ever got that problem when... Like you do a lot of form and heading towards Saturday. So you go through the form at the meetings that you guys like to do in Queensland, Sydney, Adelaide and Melbourne, sometimes up there in Queensland. So you're analysing the form, you've tried to work out your speed mats, but then you try and close your eyes and you're dreaming about Tuvalu leading all of the way at Flemington. You just can't quite get to sleep because the punting mind just never stops.
No, Wednesday night for me in particular, that's the one night where I put the head down and it is a little bit hard to drift off because, you know, often you look at the form for Wednesday after scratchings, acceptances come out 10:30, 11 a.m. From then you're looking at three tracks, you're doing speed maps, like you blink. It's like you're Alan standing in front of that blackboard and there's just like numbers flying everywhere when you close your eyes and it's a bit tough to drift off. That's when you have a warm glass of milk.
When you have a bad day, how do you cope with that?
Cry.
Yeah. Mentally, how do you get over it? It's like if you have a bad game umpiring, you miss a decision or you're just not seeing them well or you don't have any luck. How do you deal with that? Because I think if you're taking your punting semi-seriously, even if you're a casual punter, it still can sometimes affect you mentally.
100%. I think the idea around one long day really and the marathon sort of mindset really helps you with that because you can I personally record every single bet I have on a spreadsheet so keeps me accountable. You don't need to dive in the last to get out of trouble because there's always going to be a race tomorrow or the next day. So I think just a little bit of perspective and you can be really disciplined and accountable having something to punch your bets into.
Yeah, I say cry in jest, but that's one thing I've really tried to... I've trained myself in it and try and hone in on is the long day factor. Mm. And when you keep your results, you have a bad day, but then you look at the column units overall. And if you were to make a line graph... Yeah. Like it would barely be a downward dint.
So,
you know, so it's that just gives you perspective. It's all about perspective.
So, like many of us, were you chasers back in the day? Did you you do the form and you think, well, geez, I don't know how that horse got beat.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, I'm semi confident this horse will really run well, but you're sort of forcing your punting because you sort of want to get back. What measures did you put in place? And what about if you haven't got time to put out a spreadsheet or analyse your bets? What do you put in place to stop you chasing?
Well, it's the set and forget mentality as well.
Correct.
Like, it's good because I've got a game tomorrow at 3 o'clock, so I won't put a bet on tomorrow. Like, they're already on. So it's set and forget, and I'll just check on Saturday night. But in saying that, there's still a chase element. Like, I still love to have fun, go to the spring carnival after the season, and... I won't be putting a spreadsheet together in the members at Flemington. That's not much fun. So
you got to protect your bank. You've got to have a mindset of being really protective of your bank. And I think a really good analogy is if you go to the shops, right, or you're shopping online and you're going to buy a T-shirt that's $100, well, are you going to buy it? Like, do you go and buy something for $100 every time you see it, or do you actually have some self control and say, hey, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. I can use that $100 somewhere else. I got plenty of t-shirts. The same with once it gets to 5 p.m. on a Saturday. Do you need to have that other bet? No, you've had your bet. You didn't win that day. There's tomorrow. You don't have to act on every impulse that you have.
I think it's a really good discussion to have with your mates. But yeah, you don't have to force it. And there's always tomorrow.
Big time.
And you can have a little bit of fun having a punt, but it's a lot better if you're working it out and you're winning, of course.
I think that's where the sort of the unit comes from as well with us. Like, it gives you a limit, you know? Like, it makes you accountable.
That's all right. Try and back a couple of winners. Yes. And there's some terrific racing. I enjoy this time of the year because you've got feature racing right across the country. There's never really an off-season these days in Sydney and Melbourne, but it's great when you can have Adelaide and a Goodwood at Group 1 level, and up there in Brisbane when you've got probably arguably one of the very best horses in this country. He's definitely in the top five in Zaki. We always start off with our best bets, and we're both heading to Flemington. So we'll start off with you here, Sultan.
Yeah, I'm going to Flemington race 3. I really like Blushing Tycoon here. I thought he was really good too back at Caulfield over 1,600 metres. He was flushed out very early, made a long sustained run. I thought, geez, he's going to be primed for 2,000 metres the next start. The race didn't quite set up well, but he set outside the leader. He punched a breeze on a very fast tempo. And from barrier one on Saturday, they will kick up, they will lead, and they will run along. And he's got a great fitness base with that run under his belt. And I think he's going to be very hard to catch, Blushing Tycoon.
Okay, so he's currently at $5. The favourite, Flash Feeling, is on the back up at $4. So from a MAPS perspective there, Sultan, you're just thinking that he's going to have a buffer on, say, one of his arch rivals in Flash Feeling, and with the way that you think that this race will be run, he'll have too much of a kick on the way home.
Yeah, for sure. And Flash Feeling, it was great chase last week. He was under a light weight. Was a good day to run on at Flemington last week. I think it'll be a bit more even this week, and I think Blushing Tycoon, he's hard fit, and he might bust him up from the front.
Now, Nick, I'm interested to hear your best bet, because when I was looking at the fields there for Flemington, I thought one of the toughest races was the fourth race, and that's the three-year-old filly's race over the 1,400 metres, but you've found one here.
Yeah, they're all hard.
Yes.
They're all hard races, but I really like the filly by from the McAvoy yard in Defining, and she met Elation last start in the Nitschke, who just looks a genuine star, and she was blocked for a run at Vital Stages in that race, and lost momentum, did lose a plate in the run as well, and still managed to pick up again and run second, and it was a huge finish. And she looks smart enough for this race, and the draw is a bit of a worry, 14, but I think it'll help her stay out of trouble, and I think she could be the best horse there. And we were lucky enough to have Tony McAvoy on the Two Units podcast yesterday, and he gave her a huge push, and that's his best anywhere in Australia, so that's good enough for me.
He was also, I think, on Michael Falgate's show there yesterday, and it was a terrific interview going head-to-head with Michael Falgate with Tony McAvoy, lads. But he did give a good push for that mare that filly. I watched her when she won there at Oakbank, and I know it was at Oakbank, it was during their carnival, but you really had to see that victory to believe it. She came from nowhere on that track to flash down the outside. So where does she... Tempo-wise, I really like Defining as well, but how much tempo is in that fourth race? Where's the speed coming from for her to get home?
Yeah, there's a few in the race that will go forward. If you have a look at the map, there's a couple of first uppers.
Yes.
I think Torrigine will go and lead. I don't think you want him to go too fast, because this horse has a good turn of foot, and if there's that three-wide line, I'm not backing it myself, but just speaking on behalf of Nick here, if there's that three-wide line, it's got the turn of foot, and it's in touch, then I think that's no worries. But there are a few question marks regarding
Key Royale as well, coming down looking for the dry deck as well, I think is going to kick up and provide some pace.
Yeah, that got strangled in Queensland last night. The horse absolutely resented it. So if they did that again, it would be a mistake.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've got Defining. We can get $4 now with her at Flemington Race 4, and Blushing Tycoon's around a $5 chance there from the lads regarding their best bets. The Goodwood's a terrific race. Geez, it's an even race. You got the Group 1 performers up the top there in Behemoth, and also Savitou Excel, who's looking to defend his title. But outside of that, you've got gallopers that have been competitive, like the Astrologist at Group 1 level, and then you've got the favourite Extreme Warrior that shows Group 1 potential, but he's still got to be able to do it. How have you worked out this race? We'll start off with you, Nick, this time.
Yeah, for sure. So I know Dave's having a couple of specs in the race there, but I'm siding with the big boy, Behemoth,
okay,
in the Goodwood. So I liked looking through that race, the McKay. I know it was won by Free of Debt, and that may appear a weak form line.
Is he a big price at $26 or $34? He's going to get a similar run from that gate that he did last start.
He had favours.
Yeah, and I think it's about right, because these horses are, this is the grand final for a couple of these that came in behind. When I speak of like the Inferno, Savatou XL, who was, you know, hassled by Acer throughout that run from the 8 to the 4 in the McKay. But yeah, Behemoth here, I just like the way he finished off in the McKay of the last 200. Kayla had to bring him out off heels, and he picked up and travelled through the line really strong and drawn well here, and I'm really hoping for Kayla that she can stamp herself as a Group 1 winning jockey and a genuine star, not just in South Australia, but Australia too. So Behemoth's the tip for me.
Alana Kelly or Kayla as the next Jamie? Or like who?
I don't think there is a next Jamie
Kelly.
No. I think we've got to get away from that dialogue in terms of female jockeys. I think, you know, we treat everyone on their own merits.
Correct.
Alana's doing a fantastic job, and Kayla is too in her own right in South Australia. So it's really hard. It's apples and oranges for me.
It's a great answer. Yeah. It was a stupid question for myself. And sometimes you need to be put back in your place. 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. You've got a question for the lads. I'm keen. What did Tony have to say when he was talking to Michael? He was bullish about Savatou XL as well. He had that... Well, you forget he went around at Sale with the Thumps. He was better there in the McKay at Morphettville. And he said that he sort of, like, he was a run short. He won it last year. We know that he's going to make his own luck. I thought he was a big price at $16. I think he's now into $12.
Yeah, he echoed that sentiment that we just went through and you just spoke about in terms of the fact that it was a forgive fresh. He was a run short last start. You know, he gets some weight off his back. And, you know, it was a very similar rating race in terms of the overall figure to when he won the McKay last year and then bounced into a Goodwood. This is a stronger edition of the Goodwood, and there's more speed engaged, so he's going to have to soak up some tempo. They didn't go on the clock. He did get chopped up by ASA last up, but they didn't go quite as fast to the 600 as what it looked to the eye. I like two here, Gareth, two that you mentioned. I think the Astrologist is the map horse.
Yes.
And I think he's the type of horse that wins a high-pressure race, because when you've got a really high-pressure race, which this is going to be, if you're a pure backmarker, you just can't make up the ground. I think the horses really well-suited are tough horses that are settling just in behind the lead, and he suits that bill. And from Barry 6, he'll do no work to get there. Jumped out really well between runs. He was good last start. He had 60 kilos at Caulfield in a fast race, and he sat outside the leader. He only just got nailed by Lombardo, who he gets a kilo off, but he had a very soft run there, Lombardo. And you see Astrologist through the line. He's just got something in a racehorse that's intangible, and it's heart and it's effort. You look at his winning margins. He never wins by much. It's just because he sticks his head out and he loves a dogfight.
And I think it's proven he was probably best known as a straight horse, but as the Causton's team have explained, and you just need to watch him, he's far more than just a straight horse. He performs well around a bend as well.
Yeah. Even his run at Moonee Valley in that Group 1 there was full of merit. He was a pair back on an absolute lightning tempo and limited room late, went past Morabi on the line. So he's a good horse. I am with the 3-year-old Extreme Warrior. I think he's just aimed right up at this. I thought he did enough fresh. He did enough to win, but his jump out between runs after that fresh win was beautiful. Went past Lombardo, Star Patrol, who's a good 3-year-old, hot favourite at Flemington tomorrow. And I think he's going to be a better horse with some cover. And what he does have is he just has this massive figure that came second up last prep. Yep. And if he can replicate that, he'll win the race. Whether or not he can replicate it to that extent, maybe not, but he doesn't need to. He just needs to improve off the first up run. And if he can with some cover, he's got a Group 1 jockey on. I think he maps for some lovely cover right in behind the speed as well and gets the right run.
So he's at $5. And Michael Kent Jr. was bullish about his chances. Extreme Warrior in the Goodwood. And that's Freddie Kersley knocking on that Group 1 door. He's been so close, Freddie. And it's about... I know that he has been trying to get that elusive Group 1 for quite some time now. He's been so close. He's been defeated in a couple of photo finishes. But tomorrow might just be Fred Kersley's day in the Kersley name, the legend of the Kersley name could have another famous chapter written if Freddie can get the job done there in Adelaide. There's plenty of other good bets that you found around the country tomorrow, so we might go back to you here, Sultan, because we are heading back to Morphettville. You've got one for Andrew Noblin.
Yeah, race five. And firstly, I thought that knock was your Uber Eats order, but no. I think he's running late. You have to do a few others.
Unfortunately,
the way.
Where we're based here at Carlton, around that big roundabout, as you go onto Elizabeth Street, that Flemington Road roundabout, the Uber Eats, they've got no chance of finding this joint. And basically, they just say, yeah, sorry, mate, I'm eating it. And you'll have to pay for it because it's mission impossible. Anyway, we'll move on. And you've got one in Adelaide.
Yeah, Foxy Frieda. This mare has been absolutely smashed since the market's opened. So if you're going to have a bet on her, she's about $2.50 now. I suggest you wait until later because she will get back out. She's a back marker. There's a few things against. So wait and then get on. She's a bit short now if you didn't get that early price, but she was unlucky here last start, and I think that's that flashing light sort of run that the early market sort of gravitates to. So she punched a gap, but it was a bit too late, and she gets 3.5 kilos off Silent Sovereign for that defeat, and she only had one go at 2,000 metres, and she was she hit the line excellently in a Ballarat Cup from just way too far back from a wide barrier. So I think she can run past all of these and punch them gaps, and she loves punching a gap too.
Yeah. And don't we all? Flemington race number one, yeah, and especially when you're in traffic around that roundabout, you need to be brave as well to get through that gap.
Yeah.
I always like it when the Sultan's got one for us nice and early because you need a little bit of confidence to kick off your Saturday, and we're heading to headquarters here.
I am. It's a very open race. Have a go at the market in race one at HQ. This is a 2,500 metre benchmark 84. I think there's one of a bit of value here. That's Eureka Street for Linda Meach, Jason Warren. And this gelding, he was really good last start at Sandown. He had a really good run in transit. And then just at the key stage where everything started building, he got shuffled back to near on second last, had to come off heels far too late and hit the line really well. The horse is very fit, drawn low now. As I mentioned, Linda Meach is on, takes over from an apprentice. And I think the horse is ready to win. It's won here at Flemington once before. And, you know, the race is very open. When the market went up, Kaituku went up favourite. He'd won a 64 at Geelong. Yeah. You know, it's an open
winnable race.
Yeah, it's a weak 84. So I think it's a good shout.
And, Nick, you're heading to Sydney.
I am.
You found one here.
I have. And it took a little bit to find it. A diamond in the rough, I'm going to call it, on the Rose Hill card. And that's... Quintello, short and sweet at $2.50 in race nine, but looks to be a little bit of class about this lightly race mare for Kieran Maher and David Eustace. And she made a mess of them at her two starts this prep. At Mornington, she gapped them in about three strides. Then at Randwick on the heavy 10, she got to the best part of the track with J-Mac on board, but just did it soft in the end. And I think she only has to bring what she did at Randwick to this particular race, as she's the horse with all the upside, and I think the others in the race have found their mark. So I think Quintello's the best horse in the race, Rose Hill Race 9, and I'm happy to get in at the shorts there.
So David Gately made Quintello with Tommy Berry aboard as well as his best for the weekend. So that's just... doubling your units there when two great minds think alike.
Gator game plan.
Correct.
Gator can back it with confidence.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Gator just up the stake.
Yeah. He just Gator he listens to this segment, he goes, beautiful.
There's
footy,
alarms.
The number
there's
one umpire in the game is on.
Going off.
Top tab.
Hey, I want to know about Front Page. Awesome at Wagga. This is a great story. Some were suggesting that she would have been really competitive in a Goodwood. Do you give her a chance there on Saturday at Flemington?
I give the horse a chance, absolutely. And both Nick and I have him on top. Sorry,
yeah, sorry, I stuffed that up. It's a gelding. Sorry,
yeah, that's
apologize.
All right. It's the lighter colours in
the
fabric.
I get mucked
mate.
Up by the other Geray Galloper. There was front page news girl.
Yeah. So, it, like you mentioned at Wagga, he was absolutely outstanding. And, you know, this race is much deeper, but it's the way that he won. He ran time, but he went to the line almost untouched. It was so soft. And he's won once at Flemington before, and he did it from the front, and he kicked off a fast tempo and ran over all time. And you look at the market danger here, it's our time. It's consistently missing the start. Now, it's got a good straight track record without winning all the time. Its last two, it's been beaten narrowly in strong races. But I'm taking the on-pacer that kicks off a fast tempo every day of the week. And his last run at Wagga really indicated that he's back to his best. And his best, I think, is the best. So I'm happy to be with him.
And you just got one more for us on a Saturday anyway. You're heading to Rose Hill as well. Kim Waugh's got her team flying at the moment, and you found one from her stable.
Yeah, race 7 is the feature there, the Lord Mayor's Cup. Bethancourt I'm with. He's won 3 of his last 4. He almost had a heart attack in the one that he lost, so you can forgive that. And he's won his last 2 by over 12 lengths. And hopefully some rain comes, because he loves the wet decks, but he's not the worst on good ground either. So he handles it all, and he's in very light at the weights. And I think he leads, and he's very hard to catch on this Rose Hill track.
And surely, Nick, you got one for us in Brisbane.
I love it. I love going out to Brisbane. Salts handcuffed me last week and wouldn't let me go up there. But, I think, firstly, hope we get to this race. I mean, they're expecting a fair bit of rain tomorrow up there. But when you do see the apocalypse on your forecast, Gareth, and I think you want to side with a horse who, A, likes getting their feet wet, and B, who's really fit. And I think Taxu fits that mould nicely for Joe Pride. And he's been up since February and been a great heavy track money spinner in Sydney this prep. 4 weeks between runs, nice little trial in the lead up. And I think Pikey will be positive on him. Yep. And he'll be one of the first horses to find whatever the fast lane is there at Doomben, and hopefully gets the money for us. So that's Taxu in race 6 at Doomben.
Love it. Taxu, good each way price, as you pointed out. William Pike riding for Joe Pride, and does look tough to beat. Now, Sultan, you've got a Friday fill up for us, and this is important as well. Where are we going? Are we going to Geelong or Cranbourne tonight?
He's going good at these, Gareth.
Yes, he is.
We're going to Cranbourne, race 1 tonight, mate. Smoking holly. And the beauty of it being race 1, it's at 5:45 p.m.
Beautiful.
If it wins, you go to the Amstel and have a beer. Mm-hmm. If it loses, you go to the Amstel and have a beer down at Cranbourne, beautiful part of the world. Smoking holly.
You confident?
Yeah, form last prep was really good. And what she is here is she's a 3-year-old filly that, after the claim, carries the same weight as the 2-year-old filly that's a favourite. So she got the race experience on her side. Before the spell, she comes out of a red-hot form race down the Flemington straight there. Winners galore, 1, 2, and 3 have won since. I thought she jumped out really well. She beat the horse in her jump out that actually beat her on debut at Bairnsdale, and they spaced the rest. So they were both asked for a little bit of an effort. I think she's improved in the break. And with this race experience, I'm signing with her over the favourite, Bay 13.
Good on you, boys. Hey, fellas, JB from Hobart. Loved the boys' podcast and enjoyed the Sultan's debut on layback last night. Also, keep up the good work. And I got one more. And then they quote Entourage, these blokes have my heart. There's a few SMSs coming through. I can't get through all of them because time is running out. Hey, good luck this weekend in your comeback, Nick. We'll be watching and cheering you home at the MCG and the VFL. And good on your Sultan. Good punting this weekend.
Thanks, good fun, mate.
There we go. Nick Foote and Dave, the Sultan Streelord, joining me, the 2 Units team, as they do each and every Friday.